We live in a world where God's law, the Ten Commandments, are being neglected, disrespected, or completely rejected. So many say, erroneously, that obedience to the Ten Commandments is not necessary today, that God's law was abolished and nailed to the cross by Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, many do not realize that it is because of the lack of obedience to God's law. That's the reason behind all of the world's troubles today. And it's so unfortunate that the Ten Commandments have been rejected as a standard of human behavior. The U.S. law enforcement reported in the year 2013 over 6,000 hate crimes. On top of that, an increase in domestic violence, elder abuse, gang threats, and terrorism adds to the list of dangers in our society today. War is on the increase, and the threat of war. Our nation is engulfed in protests and riots reminiscent of the 1960s, and it seems that we have not learned a thing. Although we live in an age of unprecedented knowledge with a constant barrage of information, we, as a people and a society, are lacking the basic knowledge that is essential to humanity's overall well-being. The Apostle Paul, writing in the first century A.D., wrote about an essential reason why there would be so many problems in the world. Turn with me, please, to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul was writing to young Timothy, who was going to go out and preach the gospel himself as an elder. The Apostle Paul was giving him words of wisdom and words of exhortation as he would go out and preach the word. And he was animating him to preach the word. And notice in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 3, he writes this: "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." Verse 4, "And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Now notice in verse number 3, Paul wrote that the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. Now doctrine is simply teaching. And the Ten Commandments are sound doctrine because they came from God. And the Apostle Paul also adds that they will heap up teachers, as Isaiah puts it, that preach smooth things. And the result of that will be that people will turn away from the truth. The turning aside from the truth began in Paul's day and has continued on down to our day and time. When we look back and examine the history of those days, from the time of the early church in the first century A.D., there was a concerted attempt to reject the Ten Commandments as being, quote, Jewish, rather than to be observed by Christians, especially to reject the fourth commandment concerning the Sabbath day. And that began from that time going forward, for nearly 2,000 years now, a negativity about the commandments that has continued down through the centuries. Today, we have access to the Bible more than ever before, not just in book form, but on our computers, tablets, and telephones, we can read our Bibles. But sadly, very few pay attention to the contents of God's holy word. But God tells us that His law is perfect. Notice in Psalm chapter 19, Psalm chapter 19, this is a psalm of David, and of course, David was king over all of Israel, and he knew that to rule that nation, he needed to be guided by God's word. Notice Psalm chapter 19, and let's read verses 7 through 11. Psalm chapter 19, beginning in verse number 7, we read from this Psalm of David, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." God's law is perfect, and its effect is that it can convert or change people's lives. The change of life from going down the wrong path of disobedience to obeying God. Continuing on, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." This word testimony, we have learned in the Bible study series in Exodus, that the testimony refers to the Ten Commandments. That's what the testimony is, the Ten Commandments, because they testify of God's standards, God's righteous standards. Verse number 8, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Verse number 9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." The Bible Knowledge Commentary points out that this word fear is a synonym for the law, because it leads to righteous living. The fear of the Lord, or the law of the Lord, is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Then David adds this, summing this up about the law and the statutes, etc. Verse number 10, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, much more than fine gold, sweeter also than honey in honeycomb." David was king over all of Israel. David was a wealthy man, and yet he didn't look to riches as what he needed. God's word is what he needed and sought after. Verse number 11, "Moreover, by them, your servant is warned," David says, "and in keeping them, there is great reward." Again, in verse number 9, we read that God's law endures forever. It does not change with the times. And also, the last part of verse number 11, "in keeping them, there is great reward," even in the year 2017. The title of today's sermon is actually a question. The Ten Commandments in today's world? It's a question. The Ten Commandments in today's world? Today, let's examine why obedience to the Ten Commandments is necessary and needed today. Our world is on a fast track to destruction. And the way to get things right, the only way to get things right, is obedience to God and God's law. Far too many in our world today look at God's law, the Ten Commandments, as archaic, out of date, and not applicable for them. While others don't even know the first thing about the Ten Commandments, because they were never taught. You might could ask some young people, perhaps out on the street today, if they could name a commandment. I bet many would be hard-pressed to come up with one of them, because they're not taught. But there are so many benefits to the commandments, and especially in today's world. So in the sermon today, we will examine some of the specific reasons why the Ten Commandments are relevant today. We've been talking about in the last couple of sermons on prophecy that we live in a time when man has the capability to blast himself off this planet many times over, and with rogue nations or terrorist groups having access to nuclear weapons. But God's word, through Bible prophecy, tells us what will happen in the future, and he opens our minds to that understanding. Notice the last part of verse number 7. the testimony or the Ten Commandments testify of God's righteous standards. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Making wise the simple. This wisdom, God's wisdom, helps us understand and unlock Bible prophecy and what will happen in the days and time ahead, in the future, before Jesus Christ returns. That's why the Ten Commandments have such relevance today. One of the reasons. In our last two sermons, discussing Bible prophecy about understanding the end times and the day of the Lord, we talked about the fact that these prophecies would be understood at the time of the end by a certain defined group of people called the wise. They would be the ones that would understand the meanings of the prophecies. Hold your place in the book of Psalms, and let's go back to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, and review for a moment what we talked about in one of these previous sermons. Daniel chapter 12, remember that Daniel received a vision from God about the things that would be happening at the time of the end, a time of unprecedented trouble, just before Jesus Christ would return to this earth. Daniel received this vision, and we talked about this in one of my sermons. Let's go to Daniel chapter 12, and let's read verses 8 through 10. Daniel chapter 12, verse number 8. Remember, Daniel had received this vision about these events that were going to happen. Verse number 8, Daniel says, "Although I heard, I did not understand." Now that's an incredible statement. One of God's prophets didn't understand what this vision, these visions, these events and these visions were all about. "Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things?" And the answer Daniel received, verse number 9, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end." That's when these things would be understood. Verse number 10. "Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly." Those who disobey and disobey God's commandments. And notice, "and none of the wicked shall understand." The disobedient can't understand these things. God doesn't allow them to open their mind to understand. But notice the last part of verse number 10. "But the wise shall understand." At the time of the end, the wise will understand the mysteries of the prophecies from God's word. So let me ask the question, who are the wise that can understand these things? Well, the answer is the opposite of the wicked, the disobedient. Those who obey God's law are the wise that God opens the understanding to. Let's go back to the book of Psalms, and this time let's go to Psalm 111. Psalm 111. And let's read verse number 10 to add what we've just talked about. Psalm chapter 111. And verse number 10. Here we see this word fear again, which I already mentioned, is a synonym for God's law, because it leads to righteous living. Psalm 111, verse number 10. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments." Those that fear God and keep His commandments are the wise, and have a good understanding of His word and the biblical prophecies of the end times, and they are virtually unlocked to them. Many incredible things are unlocked. The answers to, why were we born? Why were we born? Where are we going? Where is this world headed to? Is there a future for mankind? And yes, there is. After Jesus Christ returns, those things are unlocked to those who are obedient and to understand them. Thus, the commandments are relevant today, and they give us understanding that those who do not keep them cannot have. As we read in Daniel, the wicked will not understand. The commandments unlocks the key to understanding our times and those that are ahead of us in the future. It's very unfortunate, but so many people in today's world lack the wisdom that is available to them by the means of God's Word, despite the fact that we have so much information available to us. In the book of Hosea, another one of God's prophets, God gave an indictment to the nation of Israel for their rejection of Him, and that indictment pertains to our world and the people of modern Israel as well. Let's go to the book of Hosea, Hosea chapter 4. Hosea was one of God's prophets that He sent to the northern tribes of Israel to preach the word, to get them to repent and to realize that they had been sinning and that they had turned away from God. And that's what Hosea was preaching to the northern tribes of Israel. And what Hosea taught and preached to the children of Israel back in those ancient times is pertinent to the descendants of modern Israel today. Hosea chapter 4, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. Verse number 1, Hosea 4. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge, or as the margin points out, a legal complaint against the inhabitants of the land. So what we have here is a charge, a legal complaint by God, an actual, if you will, court hearing against the children of Israel by the Eternal. And here we see why God brings a legal complaint in the last part of verse number 1. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. Absolutely none. And what is truth? Christ defined it, John 17:17, your word is truth. There's no truth, mercy, or knowledge of God in the land. That's what the state of ancient Israel was, and unfortunately, that's the state of modern Israel as well. Then we see in verse number 2 that some of the charges are actual infractions of the Ten Commandments, and 5 of them are listed here by God. Verse number 2, by swearing, lying, killing, and stealing and committing adultery, they break all restraint. Can't even hold them back. It's out of control. With bloodshed upon bloodshed. Blood rolling in the streets, in other words. You know, I heard a report on the news just this last week that at the end of July, there has been over 400 homicides in the city of Chicago, which is one of our major cities. Just that city, the city of Chicago, over 400 homicides. And there's still 5 months left to go in this year. And then I heard a report on the local news station that there's something like 40 homicides that have taken place in the city of Little Rock. And I started thinking, Chicago, even Little Rock, which is not even near in comparison to population of Chicago, if we started adding up all the cities in the United States of America, how many homicides would we come up with? Well, I didn't research that, but it'd be terrible to come up with the numbers of what's been going on. Bloodshed in the streets. And that's what was happening in ancient Israel. Because of that, verse number 3, God says, therefore, the land will mourn, and everyone who dwells there will waste away, with the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea will be taken away. Punishment was going to be coming upon ancient Israel, and it did happen in the form of the Assyrian nation. 721 BC, God allowed them to destroy and take them away captive, the northern tribes of Israel. Verse number 4, God says, now let no man contend or rebuke one another. No man contend. Men don't like to be reproved. It's that you can't tell me what to do attitude. Ancient Israel had it, and we see it in our society today. You can't tell me what to do. But the charges were valid against all of them. Or, God says, or rebuke one another. Accusing others only causes more problems. For your people are like those who contend with the priest. Don't want to hear God's word at all. Verse number 5. Therefore you shall stumble in the day. The prophet should also stumble with you in the night. The stumble is the effect of the destruction that was going to come upon them. And even the priest is included here because they were not teaching the people God's word in the right way. And I will destroy your mother, which is symbolic of the nation. Then we come to the heart of the matter, the very crux of the situation, in verse number 6. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Not talking about physical knowledge here. They're destroyed for a lack of spiritual knowledge. And you know, I didn't bring my iPhone up with me here today, but I can get on that little iPhone and I can Google and I can punch in and get any kind of information that I need in a nanosecond. All kinds of information is available to us at our fingertips. But spiritual knowledge? How many people are seeking that? God says, my people are destroyed, not for a lack of physical knowledge, but of spiritual knowledge. And he says, because you have rejected knowledge, spiritual knowledge, I will also reject you from being priest for me. The priests were not teaching the people, nor are they today. Then we get down to the heart of the matter here. What God says, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Forgotten the law of God. And we see that in our society as well today. And I will forget your children. Unfortunately, they were going to have to be destroyed and go through a terrible time. A lack of spiritual knowledge is the reason why the nation had been rejected. And rejecting spiritual knowledge puts a barrier between us and God. One of the prime responsibilities that a priest has is to teach the law. And yet it had been forgotten. The Ten Commandments, God's word, constitute a spiritual law, one that is eternal and irrevocable. It's a law which guides us to love, and the way to love and its fulfillment, the way to taking care of our fellow men and women, rather than hurting or killing. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 19. An interesting question was posed to Jesus Christ as he was out preaching the gospel message. Matthew chapter 19, and let's read verses 16 through 19. We're going to look at another reason why the Ten Commandments are relevant today. We talked, first of all, about the fact that the Ten Commandments makes us wise, helps us to understand God's word and what will happen in the future. And the awesome things that are going to take place in the future after Jesus Christ returns to this earth. That's one of the reasons why the Ten Commandments are relevant. Let's take a look at another one here in Matthew chapter 19. And let's begin reading in verse number 16. Verse 16. Now behold, one individual came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? We see an individual come here, and when we read the rest of the account, we know that he was a young man, and that he was a wealthy young man, a rich young man. And some of the commentaries point out that most likely he was part of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court, and he was one of the very elite of society. And he asked Christ a direct question, what good thing, or in other words, we could say, what act of service, perhaps, can I do that I can achieve eternal life? That's what this young man asked. Here's Christ's response in verse 17. So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, into eternal life, keep the commandments. Direct response. Easy response. Keep the commandments. as what he told him, if you want to inherit eternal life. Now this young man was confused. Again, he was a rich young man, an elite of society. He had heard, you know, had run around with the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees. He'd heard the Pharisees with all their rules, their regulations, and their particular commandments. And he was confused when Christ said, keep the commandments. You know, there's hundreds of them by the Pharisees. So he asked, which ones? And Christ gives him a sample of the 10 commandments. These are the ones to be keeping. He said, you shall not murder. Verse 18, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Verse 19, honor your father and your mother. And then he adds, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Christ gave him an example of several of the commandments to clarify which ones to keep. And certainly it wasn't any of the Pharisees' rules. It was God's 10 commandments. Christ actually taught that obedience was necessary to be able to be given eternal life. Eternal life in the kingdom of God. That's a definite reason why the commandments are relevant today. If we want to inherit eternal life, we've got to keep the commandments. God created in man the ability to choose. We went in the sermonette to Genesis chapter 2. God created the man in the ability to choose and to choose whether or not to obey him. And the world, because of Satan's influence, going back to the time of Adam and Eve, for 6,000 years now has generally speaking chosen not to obey God. And we see the results around us in the world today. As I just mentioned a few moments ago, over 400 homicides in the city of Chicago through the end of July, and close to 40 here in our own area here in Little Rock. Violence, killing, and suffering by far too many people. But God's law, when God's law is followed, shows the way to living according to God's standards. So, if we want to inherit eternal life, we have to keep the commandments. Another reason why they are relevant today. Let's look at a third reason why the commandments are relevant today, and that is to practice the love of God. To practice the love of God. God's law serves as a guide for human beings to conduct their lives and to put into practice the love of God. 1 John chapter 5, let's notice. John the apostle, he'd been with Jesus Christ through those years of Christ preaching the gospel. He'd heard Christ preach. He'd seen his acts of love, his acts of service to others, the healings that he had done. John understood what love was about and the relationship that needed to be built with God and Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5, and let's read verses 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 2. By this, we know that we love the children of God. Now wait a minute, who are the children of God? Well, all mankind are the children of God. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. We can love others when we have that relationship built with God, that loving relationship with Him, and when we keep His commandments. Verse number 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And, John adds, His commandments are not burdensome. They are not burdensome. Many people will tell you that they are, especially that fourth commandment is a burden. But they are not an encumbrance. Rather, they show the light to godly love. Let's go back just a page or so to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 is John talks about this relationship with God. When we draw closer to God, we understand what the love of God is, and we can show that to others. 1 John chapter 2, and let's read verses 3 through 5. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Now by this we know that we know Him. We have a relationship developed with Him. How? if we keep his commandments. Verse number 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By keeping God's word and keeping it close to our heart and following it in our daily lives, God's love can be perfected in us. And then John goes on to add, by this we know that we are in him, that we are developing a relationship with our God the Father. And thus we can know the love of God and put it into practice in our lives. The relationship with God is built by practicing and keeping his word and his laws. Then we learn to love as God loves. We won't turn there, but you can put down in your notes if you'd like to, Romans chapter 13, verse 10, where the Apostle Paul wrote, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Romans chapter 13 and verse 10. So why is it then? Why is it that mankind so readily rejects God's law? Going back to the time of the Apostle Paul, where he wrote that many would be turning aside from the truth. And it continues on down to our day and time. Why is it that mankind so readily rejects God's law? Well, John answers that as well in this section of Scripture. This time, let's go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. 1 John 5, just a few pages forward, and verse number 19. John writes, we know, we as disciples, we know that we are of God, because we're working on that relationship through our prayer and study life, growing in the fruits of the Spirit, like we heard in the sermonette today, walking in the footsteps of Christ. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. It's the influence of Satan, going back all the way to the time of Adam and Eve and coming forward, that has led mankind astray. So bad that in ancient times, God had to bring the floodwaters upon the earth because man had become so wicked upon the earth and destroyed everything except for man, except for Noah and his family and the animals that were saved in the ark. And unfortunately, though, after the flood waters had receded and Noah and his family began to build their families, mankind strayed again under the influence of Satan the devil. And as John puts it, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Let's notice how the Apostle Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul was talking about the gospel, and the Apostle Paul was in the heart of preaching the gospel to the brethren in the city of Corinth, preaching the gospel message, but also he was talking about an influence that was putting a veil over the gospel message that was being preached. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 3, but even if our gospel is veiled, you know, it's being hidden and being distorted, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled by those who are perishing. Verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, a blinding effect upon the world, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The ultimate source of misinformation comes from the wicked one, Satan the devil. The blinding of this world to God's gospel message, especially spiritual knowledge that so many lack in this world today. So we see the influence that has caused mankind to stray away from God's word, blinded them to the understanding of it. But you and I as disciples have a special calling. God has opened our minds to understand, revealed things to us to understand. So how do we continue to gain the right godly knowledge so that we can be an example and to teach others of God's way of life. Well, let's look in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And let's read verses 1 through 6. King Solomon, who wrote these words inspired by God, was king over Israel. Very, very rich man. Had so many things at his fingertips. Riches galore. And yet, as we read through this section of scripture, there's something to be desired more than riches. Proverbs chapter 2. And I just lost my spot. Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, search for her as hidden treasures, what will be the results if you do all of this? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And what's the fear a synonym of? God's law. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. In other words, to treasure and earnestly seek God's way. As Jesus Christ put it, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. That's what we need to be doing on a daily basis. We see this word if in this section of scripture repeated. If you receive my words, verse number 1. Verse number 3, if you cry out for discernment. Verse number 4, if you seek her as silver, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And if we seek that earnestly in our lives, hunger and thirsting for righteousness, we can be those examples to other people and to teach others as well. God is the great teacher. The only reliable knowledge of the right way to live comes from God. And that's what so many millions, so many billions in this world do not understand. God is the source of the right way to live. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul, as he was preaching the gospel message to the various churches, and we're reading here the gospel message to the church in Rome, the Apostle Paul understood his own humanity, the weakness of his flesh, the sinful nature that he had. And he wrote about this. Romans chapter 7 and verse number 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual because it comes from God, from the maker of all. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. The Apostle Paul wrote that God's law is spiritual and it's based on love. It's a spiritual law of life which provides a daily framework for living. And if everyone, and this is so important, if everyone on this planet would live and keep the Ten Commandments, we'd be living in a better world. And it will happen, but not until after Jesus Christ returns the second time to this earth. So, we asked the question earlier, are the Ten Commandments applicable today? We've talked about some of the reasons that they are. First of all, keeping the Ten Commandments makes us wise, gives us the understanding to understand Bible prophecy, where we're going in this world, why we are born, and what the future is for all of mankind. Gives us that wisdom. It also, the Ten Commandments, keeping them, by them, keeping them, we can obtain eternal life. Another good reason to keep the commandments. And thirdly, the Ten Commandments shows the way to godly love, to practice love in our lives, and to take care of our fellow man. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. As we begin to wind down here now, we went through this section in the Bible study series just a couple of months ago. This was actually towards the end of the instructions God was giving to Moses on Mount Sinai about building the temple where he would dwell with them. And God had given him the instructions. He was there 40 days and 40 nights on the mount, on Mount Sinai. And when we come to Exodus 31, verse 18, we come to the end of those instructions about building the tabernacle. But what's interesting, before we come to the end of the instructions by God to Moses, here in these instructions, God was giving instructions about keeping the Sabbath. We see here in verse 14, "You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you." Verse 15, "Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord." Verse 17, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." The very end of the instructions that God was giving about building the tabernacle where he would dwell with his people on this earth. Then we come to verse 18. "And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai," God had given all of the instructions to Moses to give to the children of Israel. Then we see he gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony. The testimony of the 10 commandments. Because as I've said, they testify of God's standards. He gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. That's an amazing scripture right there. Written with the finger of God. The very God who created everything, the universe, our planet Earth, all of us, the birds around us, the flowers, the trees, all the beautiful things that we see, our God the Creator, with his finger, wrote the 10 commandments. Are they relevant today? You bet they are. They're God's instructions to all of us, to all of mankind, to live the right way according to his standards. Let's go to a section in the book of Psalms, just a couple more scriptures here in closing. Let's go to a section in Psalms, Psalm chapter 119, which describes the relevance and importance of God's law throughout the ages, from the ancient times even down to our day and time. Psalm chapter 119, and let's read verses 97 through 105. Very familiar to all of us. It's one of our songs. We sing it in the song service quite often. Psalm chapter 119, and let's begin reading in verse number 97. Verse 97, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And that should be words recited by us as disciples. Verse 98, "You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies." Gives us that understanding that millions on this planet do not understand. "You through your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me." Verse 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." You know, back during the ancient times, the teacher was one that had access to the libraries, the books. The common man didn't have that access so much. It was the teachers that taught the people. God says here, we read in verse number 99, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." You know, there's many brilliant minds in the world today. You know, mathematicians, biologists, scientists. But we have more understanding than all of them because we understand God's word. God opens our minds to understandings that they can't even comprehend. Not at all. Verse 100, "I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts." Verse 101, "I have restrained my feet from every evil way," because God's words helps us to understand to shun violence and stay away from it, "that I may keep your word." Verse 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And finally, verse 104, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. It's through God's word, through God's commandments, that we understand the right way to live. And we abide by them. And we need to have them every day in our lives. The Ten Commandments are the backbone of God's inspired words. Finally, in closing, let's go to Revelation chapter 14. I wanted to turn here because the last couple of sermons that I've given were discussing the end times, understanding the end times and the day of the Lord. And we talked about much in the book of Revelation. The vision that was given to the Apostle John of things, the events that would be happening around the return of Jesus Christ. And within this vision that John was given about all of these events, we have a definition of a Christian during these end times. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 and verse number 12. Here is the patience of the saints. And who are the saints? The disciples, those who are keeping God's word and growing in the fruits of the Spirit. Here is the patience of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. The faith of Jesus, following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, growing in that relationship, exemplifying the fruits of the Spirit, but also keeping the commandments. That's the definition of a Christian in the time of the end. They keep the commandments. God's law, the Ten Commandments, are applicable for today, for all times and occasions. And as I mentioned earlier, we would live in a better world if all the people on this planet would be keeping them. That's a great reason why they are relevant today. Now, as we close, I want to have us imagine what the world would be like keeping God's commandments. Imagine the world if there was no more murdering, killing, or war for keeping the sixth commandment. We would have a world of peace. Imagine the world if there was no stealing from another, keeping the eighth commandment. There'd be no need for locked doors or police to patrol the streets. Imagine the world if there was no breaking up of marriages because of illicit affairs. By breaking the seventh commandment, it would lead to happy families. Imagine the world if there was no lying, bearing false witness to hurt or damage the reputation of others because of keeping the ninth commandment. Imagine the world if there was no coveting your neighbor's property, what is someone else's, in breaking the tenth commandment. Imagine the world if children respected their parents, keeping the fifth commandment. Imagine the world if all respected God by keeping his holy Sabbath, which would lead to tremendous blessings upon all the world by keeping the fourth commandment. And finally, imagine all the world worshiping God as creator, so that all the world could have a proper relationship with him, keeping the first two commandments. The world that I just described is not our world today. It's the world of the future, after Jesus Christ returns to this earth, when there will be peace, there won't be locked doors, there will be happy families, and we will be worshiping God and keeping the Sabbath day. The Ten Commandments are relevant and necessary today. We as disciples need to teach and reflect them in our lives. Have them be the light of our lives. This world needs God's commandments in their lives. And we look forward to the day when they will be a part of all the world, throughout the world, the permanent law of the government of Jesus Christ.